in me a clean heart.
Bless you this evening. I pray that's what's in your heart.
Amen.
That you live for Him. Tonight I wanted to just make mention that Sister Vicky and Sister Takima, their father died on early Tuesday morning, I believe it was. I got a call at 1:45 a.m. that he had passed. And that's Sister Victoria Hayes' son. And I think he was about 42 years old. And my understanding is there'll be a funeral, unless he make a different plan, on June the 2nd. That's a Thursday. So if you can pray for the family and support them. I know it's a tough situation, and they just need our prayer. And then also, we're planning to have a memorial service for Brother Zach on June the 26th. That's a Sunday evening. And the exact time, I'm not sure. It's either going to be 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. Different ones have expressed wanting to come and be here. So just keep that in mind. If we could just have a special prayer for the family, amen, that God would help them in this time of sorrow and grief. It's a hard situation. Father, we thank you tonight. As we look at the situation, there's nothing too hard for you. Lord, you've blessed in many different ways. Lord, I've talked with Victor through the years, many different things. And Lord, he's gone on to meet his reward. He's left behind a wife and some children, some grandchildren. And Lord, they're suffering tonight. They're hurting. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give them strength through this trying time. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to them along the way. Lord, you take control of the situation. Lord, we know that if we have the peace of God in our life, leading us and guiding us, Lord, we look for a better place. Lord, I pray that's exactly what's going to happen for Victor. Lord, may you come and bless this family that's suffering even just now, that you'll meet with them in a special way. Give them strength, Lord, in this time of sorrow, this painful hurt. Bless them and keep them, I pray tonight. Lord, as we look into your word, may you give us strength, give us leadership, Lord, that we can follow you with all that's in our heart. We ask your guidance in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you this evening. I know it's kind of hot in between the season. They can't seem to get the heat and air conditioning just exactly right with how the temperatures have been going. So we got the windows open. I don't know if it's going to help much because it's pretty hot, but you just worship the Lord the best you can. Amen. And Daniel, go to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. I'll read several verses of scripture here, and you just follow along with me. This will be part 3 of Power of Decision, and I think I might finish this portion of this message tonight. Amen. So Power of Decision. And you know, when you make a decision, sometimes it takes you to a test or it takes you to a testimony. Decision you make. So you be careful. Be prayerful when you make your decision, whether it's going to throw you into a test or a testimony. It's kind of a paradox. Because the test is what caused you to have the testimony. Amen. So just be careful how the enemy approaches you. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but yet favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability to in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah and Shadrach, and unto Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and of Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor of the tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melazar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. Lord bless you. You can be seated. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. The last one I'll read for now. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. According to what I read, that the name Belteshazzar was given to Daniel because he could interpret dreams and visions. He did know something that was going on. And Brother Branham said that Daniel was a prophet. And so Daniel being the prophet, God causes his prophets to be seers. And when they can see things, Brother Branham would tell that sometimes when people would be giving him a dream, he would stop them, finish telling them the dream, and interpret it for them. Amen. Sounds a little bit like Daniel. So we look at the Word and how that God keeps the same thing going all the time. And we notice how that the Lord moves amongst His children each and every season that they're in. God knows where you're at and what's going on. We want to look at a few things tonight. Now, as we're looking at this, and you can put this in your memory bank, that people have said that we worship a man. And I made just a slight comment to it on Sunday because I know I was going to be preaching here tonight. And so they look at the situation and they say that you people worship a man, you follow a man. We follow a man, but we don't worship the man. Amen. How many is worshiping Brother Branham? Nobody raised your hand. We're not here to worship Brother Branham, but we worship the God that led the prophet. And people see, they get mixed up with what Brother Branham's position was and how he was to get that bride for Christ, and they get looking at the wrong thing. We're not here to worship Brother Branham. We're here to worship the Word of God that Brother Branham revealed to us. Amen. In this hour that we're living. And so the devil would like to take people. So I want us to remember, we got to keep our balance. Brother Branham talked about keeping the balance. You got to keep your balance in the Word. Because if you don't keep your balance in the Word, you'll get off, and then you'll start having different funny doctrines and different funny little cliques, and all kinds of things will start happening in the church, happening in different places. You've got to keep your balance in the Word of God, or the devil will cause you to think you're doing something good when you're actually falling right into his trap. The Bible said in Matthew 24 that it would be so close that if it were possible, it would do what? Deceive the very elect. So you see, the Word's going to run really close together what's going to happen in around this message. There's people that now hates the message, and they hate the prophet, and they say that he's a liar. They say that he's a false prophet. They say things against him very wrongly that I believe, and I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I wouldn't want to be taking that chance to call a prophet of God. And the reason we don't call him a liar is because we believe he is the prophet of God. We believe that God did something so supernatural. And the problem is that people misunderstand when the supernatural is doing something. And everything, every word that came out of Brother Branham's mouth was not, thus saith the Lord. You say, oh, that scares me, Brother Mike. Why? Brother Branham said, he said, they'll never get to the moon. 3.5 years later, they got to the moon. It was not a prophecy. It's what he felt. It's what he thought. So he made the comment, they'll never get to the moon. But they got to the moon. So does that make him a false prophet? Not in any way. He said, I predict that in 1977, the Lord should come. It didn't happen the way the people thought. Was he a false prophet? Not at all. He said, I predict. And people take those things and they try to say, he said, well, thus saith the Lord. No, he didn't. Read carefully everything that he said. You don't just take one quote in one sentence and try to make something out of it. You got to take the whole message and see the whole picture. Remember what he talked about looking at the tree. He said, if you don't get the picture just right, you got a cow in the top of the tree. He said, you can't do that. So he's trying to tell us, keep your balance in the Word of God. Because the devil's going to come along with other doctrines and other ideas and try to cause you to get tripped up. So then when people come into our own assembly sometimes and we say, Brother Branham said, and Brother Branham said, and Brother Branham said, they say, you worship Brother Branham. Well, Paul said, Matthew said, Jesus said, Isaiah said, Elijah said, but it happened to be that Brother Branham was in this day and we say what he said. Okay? We all on the same page so far? You shouldn't be trying to be convinced if I believe the message or not. I believe it with all my heart. But what I want to dispel is some people who say is we worship the man. We don't worship the man. I got some quotes here where he's talking about that they tried to take a holy man and worship him. You can't worship the holy man. I don't care how holy he is. You cannot do that. The Word of God has got to be before anything else. He said, what did the Lord say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many's got the Holy Ghost? Or feel like you do anyway? Do you think you got any God in you? Let's make it personal. We got God in us. Brother Branham had God in him. Because we worship what he said does not make us worship him. But the message and the messenger are the same.
what I'm preaching tonight. I believe the message, and I'm one with the message that I'm preaching tonight. Because that's what I'm identified with, the glory and the power of Almighty God. So as God's moving down and looking at the situation, you know, he said, Noah was an image and a sign of God's oncoming judgment. You understand that? Noah was an image and a sign of God's oncoming judgment, and he expressed the word. And by staying with the word, the same word he expressed, condemned the world and saved his own house. If you stay with this message, listen to me, if you stay with this message, I believe with all that's going on, this word of God that we have is going to give us saving grace. It's going to give us rapturing faith. It's by the power of God. It's by the anointing of God. But Noah just spoke what God told him. He was an image of God to the people. Hello. We've been on this word for a long time. You should be able to eat some meat tonight. Okay? I shouldn't have to try to qualify everything I say. You should somewhere have already heard enough of this message, read enough of the message to say, that is nothing but the truth. Not trying to pull trick questions or trick quotes or anything like that. Let's just bring it in here and let's see what God had to say. Because Brother Ram said that this Bible is our absolute. So if the Bible is our absolute, then he absolutely brought us revelation according to the revealed word of God. So the revealing of the word of God is why we're even here tonight, is because it's been revealed. Now, I was talking to the pastor of SDA today. I'd come over. And they were talking about they're going to change their sound system in the big sanctuary to more digital. And they said, well, we might have to get your guy to help us. I said, yeah, because he's an IT guy. He knows a lot of that stuff. So, Brother Carlos, I'm going to put you on the point. And so they got me a digital lapel mic the other day, and it sounded okay out in the sanctuary, did it? Could you hear it okay? And so I told him, I said, well, then we'll be sure, Brother Carlos, you give him the lapel mic, he wants to try it out. And he says, yeah, I noticed the way I preach is I talk like this. I said, yeah, and I go the other way. He goes, yeah. He noticed, he said, I've heard you preach. I don't know what he's heard me preach, but he's heard me preach. So he's listening. And I just want to give you a little pat on the back. There was one fellow came to watch our worship service, and he came back out, and he goes, I'm going to tell you one thing. He said, those people come to worship God. He said, it ain't like our church. He said, some of them won't even pay attention to what's going on. He said, and I couldn't believe, he said, the hallway looked like a ghost town. He said, they were in church worshiping God. He said, and our hallway is always full of people and talking and walking around. He goes, man, I've never seen. He said, they were really there to serve God. He said, makes me ashamed of my church. I said, oh my. Amen. The reason we wanted in the sanctuary is so you wouldn't be in the hallway. So if the deacon tells you to get inside, get inside. Unless your baby's crying or there's something wrong, we understand that. But the hallway's not the place for conversation. It's only a transportation way to the bathrooms and outside. Outside of that, stay in the sanctuary, worship God, and let's have a testimony. Now, that was a testimony that God gave us. Now, I don't want to get tested here. All right? But they've already realized I preach one way and they preach another. They hear Brother Marion and Brother Tim, they're going to go, these all must have come from the same school. They hear Brother Neville, he says, yeah, no, I like that guy the way he preaches. But even Brother Neville sounds different from that guy. I'm telling you. So they see, he goes, I was really happy. He goes, well, I guess we could say how did he say that? Something about because we were in the sanctuary now, sharing it with him. He says, sanctuary sharers. Okay. That's good. Let's just come on into service together and see what happens. But you see, they took notice of what you worship. this king was taking notice to the children that they had taken. When they captured them, they brought them over to Babylon, and he took note to how they worshiped God. They took note to how they had wisdom about the Word of God. The king was watching how the people behaved themselves in worship to their God. Amen. That did not change, friends. They're still doing the same thing today. They're watching us in how we worship God. They said they could hear such a praise going up in that church the other day. I've never been there on their Saturday to see how they worship. Brother Carlos has. I don't know the difference. But I'd say it's a lot different. So they take note. And the one guy says, man, I really want you to leave the drums in there. I said, well, we've been told you got to get everything out. So you can't borrow them. But if he ever gets permission, I'll be more than happy to loan them to him to let him have a worship service. They take note to what's going on. They started trying to justify some of the older people and why they didn't have drums and different things. I said, yeah, but David said to praise him on the loud-sounding cymbals. They go, you're right. They take notice of what's going on in here, friends. They take notice that the congregation just keeps growing and things keep happening. And they're watching. Listen, and this king is watching these men. These young people, listen, young people, they're watching you. He said, take the young ones, the ones without a blemish. Listen, friends, what do you mean? You don't get in the world. You get caught up in all the things that they're doing. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Come in here without a blemish. My Bible says he's looking for those who without a spot or a blemish. Amen. There is Daniel, and he chose to not eat of the king's meats. He chose not to eat of the worldly things the king had to offer. Let me say to you tonight, you don't have to partake of what the world has to offer. All they have to offer is death. They have no power. They have no joy. They have no happiness. Listen, friends, the world is certainly in a sad condition, and the United States is in a very sad condition with all that's going on around it, and the demons are just running wild. But there's a people that's watching God's children. And as they're watching God's children, they're watching your testimony. They're watching the holiness that you have. Whether you speak a word or not, they're watching your behavior, your action, and where you go. They're taking note of the situation. Listen, that's how it is. They're watching God's people. God has a people that's going to worship him regardless. Daniel had a purpose in his heart. He wasn't going to defile himself with the world. And what did he do? And what did it do? It saved his life. Amen. The Hebrew children the same way. And every person that ever served God become an image of God was God expressing his own word through them. That's why I asked you a few minutes ago, how many of you got God? How many's got the Holy Ghost? Because Brother Branham says, and in this message that I'm reading from, I believe it was in Identification 1963. He said, and every person that ever served God become an image of God. Did you understand how important it is that you live holy, holy, holy unto the Lord? Because you're not just representing ICBF. You're not just representing the message. You're representing God himself. If you're representing God himself, then there should be something inside of you that says, I will not defile myself with the things of the world or the things that the king's got to offer. I will not defile myself because I've got a testimony to uphold a standard. Amen. Your testimony is upholding a standard. Amen. He said his own word. He said was God's expressing his own word through them. So if we were in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, and we are his thoughts expressed, then we become the image of what God said we could be. Amen. That doesn't mean you worship me. My wife loves me. She thinks there's nobody else in the world like me. But brother, she doesn't worship me. She loves me. We don't worship Brother Branham. We love him. Because the Hebrew children said, our God is able to deliver us. Listen, Daniel had come along. Let's just talk about Daniel a little bit. Daniel had come along. He was the spokesperson. He was saying, we'll not defile ourselves. We'll not eat the pulse. We'll not eat the things of the king, but we'll eat the pulse. And the pulse was vegetables. You know, like broccoli. Kale. Stuff that you probably don't want to eat. But it made them healthy. And it made them look good. And they recognized after 10 days of eating that, you know, maybe we should try that. I'm not trying to start a weight loss or anything, but maybe we should for 10 days just eat vegetables. It might make a difference in how your appearance is, how your countenance is. The Bible said they were more fatty looking and more fresh looking, and oh, they just looked really good. So he said, okay, we'll take away the wine. We'll take away all this other stuff that the king's got. We'll take away all the worldliness, and we'll give them, we'll let them take their word. Hallelujah. We'll let them eat off of their word because that's what's been proven that the king has already seen in them anyway. And Daniel knew. And so the king has a dream. Then he goes along and says, I want you to the, all the magicians and all these different ones to come in and to the soothsayers and whoever else, come in and tell me my dream and tell me the interpretation. And most of them, I don't know where Daniel was at this very moment, but most of them said, now, king, if you'll just tell us the dream. He goes, I don't know what the dream is. You tell me. They said, but king, if nobody's ever asked such a thing as this. He said, but I'm telling you, you either tell me my dream and the interpretation because you're going to make up words if I tell you the dream. You're going to make up things. And they said, they couldn't do it. He said, king, nobody's ever asked such a thing as this. They didn't know the God that Daniel knew. Belteshazzar. They didn't know the God that he knew. And so when they gave, the king gave the decree, we'll just destroy all those message believers then. We're just going to destroy them all. Because they can't. There was only one prophet, friends. There was only one prophet. We're following what the prophet had to say. Who was it that spoke up and said to the king, O king, give me some time and God will tell me the interpretation, what the dream is and what the interpretation is. You got to base things on God, not on your thinking. Daniel was placing everything that he was on God. The king had already seen that these people have something that we don't have. That's why he chose them. And Daniel stood there and he said, king, let me go before the Lord. He didn't just say, oh, you know. He went before the Lord. And the Lord revealed to him what the dream was, what the interpretation was, and how that God was going to do the things that he did. But then I want you to notice something. After Daniel stood up, just as Moses stood up, he stood in the breach for all those people who could not interpret the dream. He stood in the breach. For all those preachers who was misinterpreting the word, Daniel was standing there in front of the king for all of them. He didn't want them to be killed. He stood there, and then he said, O king, this is what the Lord told me, and this is how it will be. And then in verse 46 of chapter 2, verse 46, now he says, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief and governors over all the wise men of Babylon. The king now begins to worship a man because he doesn't know the God of the man. And I'm afraid that's where some people go. They only see Brother Branham. They hear what Brother Branham did, and they worship Brother Branham, but they don't know the God of Brother Branham. We're here to get people to the God of Brother Branham. Because Brother Branham came in and he brought, thus saith the Lord, and he secured a lot of the people's lives by bringing, thus saith the Lord. And Brother Branham will tell you, and remember when Daniel got before the king, he said to the king, oh king, I cannot tell you your dream. He said, we'll have to come from God. I'm just paraphrasing now. Because he took no glory. What did Jesus say? I can do nothing except the Father shows me first. So if Jesus had to go that way, then Daniel had to go that way. Brother Branham had to go that way. Every situation, every step of the way, God has to identify himself with those people. So they don't want you to worship them. They want you to worship him. Amen. Can the church say amen? Amen? You believe what God has done in this day has blinded the eyes of so many people. I got three books. All of them the same ones. They were all mailed to me. And there's a fellow from over in India who's now proclaiming that he is the prophet. And he's calling Brother Branham Christ Branham. He is in error. Real bad. Because he don't even know what the word says. He cannot be the prophet. Now he's self-proclaiming himself to be a prophet. He's doing all that he can. And I read just a few lines of it to see where is this guy coming from. He's off the line. You cannot, if you take Brother Branham and place him like that, then you make him Jesus Christ. And he said, that's Antichrist. God had to dwell in William Branham. He's got to dwell in you. You become the image of God to the people. People will see Christ in you before they see the Word. Amen. He said, your life has to be as a written epistle read of all men. So you're the image of God standing here today, but people are not to worship you. They're not to worship Brother Branham, but to the worship the God of the prophet. Amen. I'm trying to hit it pretty hard so you understand what's going on. God has done something wonderful in this age. He said every person, I think I read that part. He said every person is an image of God. God expressing himself through his living images. I'm just quoting Brother Branham now. He said, God's expressing himself through living images. Amen. If I stand here and you can see the light, you can see the shadow, it's just an image of who I am. Right? Amen. If we're here today and we got God in us, we are an image of what God is. Amen. That's why it's so important that when you say you're a believer, that you really uphold God in your life every day that you live. He said, I'm just going to jump down. He says, he talks about people identifying themselves in the day of Noah. He said, if you lived in the days of Noah and was in your present character, what group would you be identified with? Now think of it, what group? He said, when here is an old fanatic standing out there, up there on the hill, that's been proven over and over. How many believes Brother Branham's been proven over and over? How many really believe Brother Branham's been proven over and over? Amen. He is the prophet to this age. Amen. He said he's been proved over and over for 120 years, and he's out of his mind. You know what? You got to get out of your mind to get in the mind of Christ. Amen. You got to. If you keep your mind, you'll never meet Christ. Amen. The devil wants your mind. God wants it all. The devil can't get to your heart, your soul, but if God gets a hold of your mind, you will be a perfect person. He said, when the old fanatic, he said 120 years, he's out of his mind because he's absolutely predicting that there's water coming down from up there and all their scientific instruments proved that it wasn't there. And because it didn't jive with their scientific things, how could Almighty God ever do something that was against their own reasonings? See, and the man was talked about. He was the laughingstock of the time. What makes you think it's going to be any different in this day? The more we hear the message and believe the message and people that's been around it for years and in it, and I'm not talking about people that don't know the message. I'm talking about people that's been in and around the message, have been around for so long, and now have stepped outside of the message trying to prove how wrong it is, how crazy it is, and how this group of people is following him blindly. I'm one of them. If I'm blind, just let me alone. I'm really happy. I haven't seen anything else that matches what we've got. I don't see it in the Baptists. I don't see it in the Seventh Day. I don't see it in the Pentecostals. All they want to do is shout, 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 speak in tongues, bring, call fire. Listen, friends, I've done all that stuff. But I've never seen anything that's satisfied like the revelation of this word. This message and this messenger came from God, but the eyes of the people who didn't understand are blinded. The people who heard Noah preach for 120 years, how blind do you think they were? Even though they were standing there looking at this monstrosity that he called an ark. He said, this is the weirdest old guy. He's been doing this for 120, he's been this way for 120 years. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. He said, I'm the Lord God and I change not my message. He didn't change his, Noah didn't change his message. He just kept preaching the same old thing. Brethren, it finally happened. He said, no. He said, now I wonder. He said, yeah, just like that. He said, what group would you be identified with? With the popular opinion of the day? Oh, you say, I belong to church. That's not what I'm talking about. They had plenty of church groups in that day, probably more than they got now. But there was somebody with a message from God, that's right, and it was very unpopular. This message is becoming more unpopular. His group was very unpopular because he was considered a fanatic. Would you be ready to identify yourself with that fanatic group in this present age that you're in? Are you willing to identify? Do you have a testimony that identifies you why you still believe the message? Most of us have a testimony why we came to the message and why we're staying with the message, because nobody can take that away from you when it's your testimony. God has to reveal it. He said, the only way that you'd ever do it would be for it personally to be revealed to you. So we can preach about the message, give you every quote pill that you can get, every gospel that you can get, and unless the revelation comes, you are never going to accept what we preach. Comes on, Daniel wasn't going to defile himself. Watch, he was going to keep the word in a place where it could flow through the word. What did it do? It sent down an angel. It protected his life. It didn't mar his, and he didn't mar himself. Do you know the angels are watching over us? Amen. Do you know that the angels can send a report back to God? This one has got cancer. This one's got a situation. This one's got that problem. And God can say, here's my answer, and the angel messengers will bring it back. Remember, who was it prayed? Was it Daniel prayed and his prayer was hindered 21 days? Evidently, that messenger was having a little bit of a tussle. But he went through. So when your prayer's not answered right immediately, and listen, it may not come like you wanted, just trust in the Lord and he will bring it to pass. If you don't pray for me, I'm not going to get this said tonight. The devil doesn't want you to be victorious, but I'm here tonight to tell you that this power of decision brings you to a place that you can be an overcomer in the spirits of Laodicea all around us. Jesus said in these days, he said, which is a personal pronoun, he, the Holy Ghost, when he has come up on you, come to you. Now listen at Brother Branham, expressing about Jesus Christ. He said, when the Holy Ghost, when he has come up on you, come to you, he will show you these things. I've taught you and will show you these things to come. Remains the same thing. The Holy Spirit is the prophet among us today. The Holy Spirit is the prophet. But he says, when it comes upon you and it comes in you, what is it? It's the same Holy Spirit that's moving you. So when the prophet says, thus saith the Lord, you go, amen.
Amen.
You just follow it right along, because why? God has already took away all doubt, took away all fear and all these things. Daniel was a prophet. The words of God, the Bible, was invested to Daniel to manifest to the people that God still lived. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile his investment. How about you tonight? What are you investing in? You can invest in General Electric. You can invest in GM. You can invest in Ford, all kinds of things. You can make money. You going to take it to heaven with you? Why don't you invest it in Jesus Christ? Why don't you invest it in something that's going to get you out of here? Listen, Mr. Trump, with all of these billions of dollars, he doesn't even know God. He doesn't understand God. He doesn't know even how to talk about the Bible. His billions of dollars will not even buy him a ticket to the first step of glory. If he's going to get there, he's got to come just like everybody else. Got to repent. And right now, he's not sure of anything that he needs to repent of. Nonsense. The people of this world, it's become nonsense. He says, oh, if the church could only do that. If the church could only purpose in your heart that you won't defile your investment with any tie-up with things that brings you into a system that will take you away from him. Daniel purposed in his heart, and what did he do? It saved his life from the lions. I'm not even preaching about the lions tonight, but you know that Daniel was saved from the lions. Why? The angel came. The messenger came and protected his prophet messenger. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't defile your body in any way. Why? I've got a work for you to do. And God did these things through our messenger. And what did he do? He protected that gift. God knows how to protect his gift. He said the Hebrew children made an investment in God, and they would not break his commandments, no matter if they made an image of their holy brother Daniel. Hello, church. Said these three Hebrew children, no matter if they made an image of their holy brother Daniel. Don't make a holy image of Brother Branham.
Amen.
You can't do that. It's all through the scriptures not to worship a man. He said, which I believe that image was of Daniel. This was in investments 1963. He said, which I believe the image was of Daniel, because he was Belteshazzar, God. And we find out that he made an image to this holy man. No matter how holy the man was, they wasn't to bow down to any form of image. No matter what the image is, the Gentile world was issued in by worshiping a holy image. It's going out the same way. And you see the system doing it today. So the Hebrew children would not bow to any image. And you should not bow to any image either. And you find out that their investment paid off by saving their life. They loved Daniel. They knew he was a prophet. But they said, we're not going to worship the man. Y'all still with me? We're not worshiping Brother Branham. But what he had to say, listen, what Daniel said saved Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the first threat the king gave. He was going to destroy all these guys. But because the prophet messenger came with his message and interpreted the dream, God blessed these men. And yet, because he saved their life that time, they said, we can't bow down and worship our brother. It's not right according to Revelations. See thou, do it not. Y'all with me? You know what I'm talking about in the scripture? You can't worship these people like that. And these men, even though the prophet spoke such a word that it saved their life from being destroyed. If you could get a hold of this message the right way, it's going to save your life from being destroyed. It's going to bring you to rapturing faith, and rapturing faith is a bypass to this world's death. It's a step out of here. Don't get confused. He said, no matter how holy the man was, they wasn't to bow down to any form of the image. If you want to read, that's Investments, 1963, 11:16, 1963. He said, no matter how holy the man was, they wasn't to bow down to any form of image. No matter what the image is, the Gentile world was issued in by worship of a holy image. It's going out the same way. We understand and realize that Brother Branham was pointing to the Pope. Look at the world and how that this man's got a grip now on the world and how people are appreciating him and they worship the way the man's handling things. We know that it's going to go out. And what is it? They're of the Gentile dispensation. But do not let us get caught up. We're Gentiles, but don't let us get caught up into the spirit of worship of Brother Branham. Don't worship the image of the man. Worship the God that he brought to us. Just like Daniel spoke, thus saith the Lord. And these three men saw what God did, but they were willing to die if they would not worship the man. Amen. These men had a test. They were coming to a situation. And when they come before the king, because now the king had already worshiped Daniel, remember? The Bible plainly states that he worshiped Daniel. And why did he worship Daniel? Because Daniel had something he didn't have. Daniel had thus saith the Lord, and when he interpreted the dream and told him all about it, it just got a hold of the king. Oh my. So what did he do? He didn't know God, so he knew the man. Many people get a hold of the man. They see the miracles of the man. They hear the expression of the man. They fall in love with the man. But they miss God. Brother Branham didn't want you to do that. He wants you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. He said, I come to get a bride. And what did he say? To slip the hand of the bride into the groom. Is that what Brother Branham said? I'm not trying to misquote anything here, but understand, that's what our prophet has told us. I come to get a bride to slip it into the hand of Jesus Christ. Don't worship him. Hallelujah. He said the Gentile wars, he said the Gentile world is going to go out in the same way, worshiping an image. And you see the system doing it today. So the Hebrew children would not bow to any image, and you find out that their investment paid off by saving their life. Now as we check some of these seeds, he said, let's think. I'm going to jump to a different now. He said, we think of the, he's talking about the seed of Abraham. How many is the seed of Abraham?
Amen.
Amen. We're the spiritual seeds of Abraham. These three Hebrew fellows were the seed of Abraham. Brother, they had a testimony and it pleased God. Here he said, we think of these Hebrew children I have here. Think of that. He said, on the Hebrew children, and after they had been tested against image worship. Now they're going to be tested against image worship. The king says, if you don't bow down to this image that I made, I'm going to put you in the furnace. These three men said, oh, king, we cannot bow down to your image. What were they doing? They were defying the words of a man. Listen, when the world and its system tries to tell you to not to serve the Lord, it's rather to obey God than man. These men knew better than to worship an image of their brother Daniel, and they said, we cannot worship our brother Daniel. It's against our word. It's against the word of God. Brother Branham just kept repeating it all over. He said, these men knew that it was against the word of God, and they wouldn't do it. He said, what did they do? The king gave them an opportunity to think about it all night. Instead of thinking about it, they prayed about it.
Amen.
They had a prayer service. If you knew that you were going to face death, I don't think you would be sleeping. When the guy's already got this big old furnace on over here and it's already pretty hot, and he says, if you don't do it, then I'm going to put you in the fire. Brother, they were standing there and they went and they had a prayer service. And the next morning their testimony was, looking at each other, are you ready? I'm ready. Are you sure? I'm sure. We're going to stand on the word of God.
Amen.
We're not going to worship the image. And if he puts us in the fire, he puts us in the fire.
Amen.
Brother, I can tell you that these men, they were looking at the situation and how that the devil was trying his best to make them think in their mind, I can't do it, I can't do it. And in your mind, you can't do it. But when you have the focus of the Holy Ghost in your life, the devil cannot take it away from you. They had, thus saith the Lord, they'd seen Daniel, and Daniel had probably told them, boys, Where was Daniel in this? Where was Daniel? How come these three guys are the only ones seen? I guarantee you if Daniel had a seen it, he wouldn't have bowed either. But evidently Daniel was somewhere, and maybe they called him up and said, you know, they had a connection to Daniel. Called him up and said, hey Daniel, you know what's going to happen to us if we don't bow down and worship your image? The king is going to throw us into the fiery furnace. And Daniel said, brethren, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servants, the prophets. He was there encouraging them, you can stand. You can make it. I guarantee you that Daniel didn't sleep that night either. He was praying with them. He was praying for them because they were under the threat. I'll tell you what, when you love a brother, you love a sister, you'll pray for them. You'll put away some food. You'll put away some things. You'll put away from sleep and you'll say, God, they need help tonight. They need an angel to come down and set them free. Brother, they begin to pray, and somehow Gabriel had heard the prayer. Gabriel was watching the situation. He was over there, and he comes up to the Lord. He says, oh, don't you see what's going on down there? Let me go down there. Had his hand on his sword, Brother Branham said. He said, let me go down and take care of it. He says, no, just take it. It's all right. He said, then Wormwood came up. He said, Lord, he said, you know, I could go down and just wash them right off the place. He goes, I know you can, but you know what? This is a job for me this time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if it's Christ that's in you, it's Christ that's going to protect you. Amen. Glory to God. The angels were there. They're the messengers back and forth. But here is God himself now looking down through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said it was Jesus sitting there with the bloody robes on. He hadn't even been to Calvary yet. But Brother Branham said he was sitting there with bloody garments on. The Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, he was occupying the position. Brother, I'll tell you what, and this is how I know that God was with these men. The Bible says that when they came out and they said, okay, it's time for you brothers now, you men, to fall down and to worship this image as we play all the music. Listen, a lot of people will fall down and worship just because the music's playing. We can create an atmosphere with the music and it'll make you go, oh, hallelujah. I feel the presence of the Lord. The music couldn't sway them. The words couldn't sway them from the king. The president couldn't change their mind because they knew that was directly against the word of God. When it came time and they played the music, these guys would not bow down. Listen, friends, you're going to be faced with the music one day in your life. Every child of God is going to go through these testing trials. You're going to go through these things. But just remember, your trials are more precious than gold. Gold don't mean nothing to God. He's got all you need over in glory. He said the streets were paved with it. It's nothing to him. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to worry about it. And as they walked up the plank, if you don't mind me putting it this way, as they walked up the plank to step into the fire, and maybe they were saying, you sure, we're ready, yes, well, let's go. And they were walking up the plank, and as they were going up, what happened? I'm telling you, their testimony began to take effect.
Amen.
Their testimony began to take hold. As they reached near the door, the Bible said it killed the men that was presenting them to the furnace. They could probably start saying, I can't clap my hands, I can't jump or anything, but praise the Lord, we didn't die yet. They did. I'm going to tell you something. When you're bound hand and foot and you know that God's on your side, you're not afraid of the flames of the fire, you're not afraid of the trial because you know God's with you. They probably looked at each other and said, something's happening. Something going on down here. I don't feel no heat. I don't feel no problem, but these fellows are dead. Their religion was dead. It had no life in it. But these men, because they were prayed up, they were ready to face what they were going to do. They stood there with the anointing on them, and just as they got there, Brother Branham said that there was just enough fire to singe the cord to cut them free. And about that time, they didn't even know what was going on, but the angels in heaven had already seen what was happening, and somebody else had already appeared down in the fire, and he was just kind of fanning the flames away from them, and maybe he just blowed it over towards those other guys, and they couldn't stand the heat. My God is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. My God's an ever-present help in a time of need. Brother, they need, he said, I'll supply all your needs. I ain't talking about money. I'm talking about a spiritual need tonight. He'll supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. He'll tell the devil where to get off when you got a problem. He'll set you free, friend. Brethren, when they got to the fire and they fell into the fire or jumped into the fire, by this time they might have said, let's just go. They knew they were under the anointing of something going on. They knew. And when they got down there, brother, they was having a hallelujah meeting. Their hands were free. Their feet were free. I can imagine us Pentecostal people had the fire of God just going along. They might have been dancing down there. They might have been singing, Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Brother, he was standing in the fire with them. The king says, oh my goodness. He walks over and says, what's going on around here? Didn't we throw three in there? They was having issues. Didn't we throw three in there? And he says, oh. He said, yes. He said, but there's a fourth one down there. How did he know he looked like the Son of God? How did he know that God was down there? How did he know that he even had a son? Maybe Daniel had been testifying, the God that I serve, he has a sacrifice that's coming and he's been born and bread and he's been bleeding and he's a bloody lamb and all these things, and all of a sudden he looks down and there's somebody like unto the Son of Man, the Son of God, in the fire. Brother, there was no heat that could touch them. There was no fire that could restrain them, because something had got a hold to them. I would say that those flames looked like air conditioning to them. Wouldn't you like to know what was going on down in the fire? Wouldn't you like to know what was Jesus saying? Said, boys, I really appreciate the worship. I really appreciate how y'all stood for my prophet Daniel. And I appreciate how Daniel stood for y'all and told y'all not to bend, not to bow, not to break, because thus saith the Lord that he has is going to see you through. Brethren, I believe that's what God has done for us. Thus saith the Lord is going to see us through. Man, the power of God is going to walk with this bride. She's going to slip her hand into the bridegroom's hand, and we're going to just march right on the glory. Why? Because God has given us thus, saith the Lord. We don't worship the image, but we worship the living God that he told us about. He is standing on the throne of glory today, and all the devils out of hell, when they come against you, cannot stop God. If you got God in your life tonight, friend, fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He'll give you whatsoever you ask for him. When you need it, God will bring it to you. Why? Because he is watching over your soul. He's watching over your situation. Don't be afraid tonight. Let God take a hold of your life and tell the devil, I am a son of God and I am God. Oh! Come on, friend, shake yourself loose. If God, the Holy Ghost, is in you, you got God in you tonight. Brother Branham said that you got God in you. He says you got deity in flesh. I'm looking at deity tonight. Hallelujah. You can't have the Holy Ghost without having deity. How many can say amen? How many believes that's true? Brother Branham said you, as a man, are deity. Hallelujah. All that does is make me more happy. I wouldn't want you to worship me because I'm a miserable failure as a man. I'm a miserable failure as a husband, as a father sometimes. But brother, the God that I serve is no failure. He looks beyond the fault, sees my need, and says, come on up a little higher. I'll bring you unto glory, because the anointing's going to be on you, and you're going to be a testimony against this Laodicea spirit. You're going to have the anointing of the Holy Ghost in your life, and the devil cannot put enough heat on you to stop you from living in the presence of God. Would you stand with me tonight? You love Him?
Amen.
You love Almighty God?
Amen.
You have to make your decision. And when you do that, the only thing the test can do, when a seed of Abraham is standing at the crossroads of a decision, and he makes his decision to serve God, it can only cut the bands loose and make us free. Hallelujah. Satan might give you a disease. He might give you one thing or another. You have no, you know it's not God got you in the cross. How do you know it's not God got you in the crossroads? To see what kind of a decision you'll make. So what's going to be your decision? God or not? I can't preach like the Seventh-day Adventist pastor. Sorry. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says he's been listening. I don't know what he's been hearing, but he's been listening. Amen. The Lord knows exactly what's going on. If you're the seed of God, I guarantee you, Brother Branham has got this confidence. He could say to the Lord, Master, I taught them how to stand. I told them what the results would be if they stood for you. I told them that if it would follow you, that you would see them to the rapture. And I gave them, thus saith the Lord, in such a way that there was no way it could be crossed up. But the devil's trying it anyway. But to the seed of God, the seed of Abraham, they believe anyway.
Amen.
Hey, seed of Abraham, how are you believe tonight? How's your position tonight?
Hallelujah.
You love the Lord Jesus?
Amen.
You love the prophet that God gave us, Brother Branham?
Praise
you. Love it because God gave him, thus saith the Lord?
Yes, sir.
And he said, worship the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that God's going to do something to the glory of God for His people. Just play something softly there for a moment. I'll tell you, I love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Makes me want to serve Him more.
Amen.
You're here in the pulpit sometimes. Been fighting all kinds of struggles with the devil's spirit. But get here and know that the anointing is that breaks every feather.
Amen.
The anointing breaks the yoke of the demons.
Amen.
The demons have to step away. You know, Brother Branham said that you could live so close to God that the devil wouldn't know what to do with you.
Amen.
So why don't you try living close to God? It will give you life. It will give you peace. It'll give you joy in your darkest hour. When you get to the darkest hour, He's going to be there.
Amen.
Himself. He's going to stand with you. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, if there's any here tonight, Lord, that's not sure where they stand. Brother Branham said, what group would you identify with? If you were in Noah's day, what group would you identify with? But Lord, there's a situation today. People hating your message, hating your messenger. How many of us are going to identify? He's still my prophet. He's still, thus saith the Lord. He's still the one that God showed to lead the way. He's still the one that gave me revelation by the Word of God. Wasn't He that gave the revelation, but it was God by His Spirit gave the revelation by the words that He spoke. Lord, no man can give the revelation but You. Lord, may You speak to our hearts. Help us to love You. Lord, if there's any here tonight that's suffering with a spiritual wickedness in high places, I pray You command that demon to set them free. Lord, until they draw close to You, You can't draw any closer to them. Depends on how they worship You. If they worship You just in a little bit, You won't even, maybe not even bless them a little bit. But if they worship You a whole lot, I believe You'll be there on the spot every time. Oh God, help us to be warriors for the glory of God. Help us, Lord, tonight we pray. Have Your way, Lord Jesus. Take control, Lord. Bring us to submission to the Word of God. Let us love You, Lord, with all that's in our heart. Grant it, Father, I pray tonight in Jesus' name. A message here says, Brother Philip's son has been admitted to Stafford Hospital and would like the church to pray for him, for God to save and deliver him. Brother Philip's son has been admitted to the hospital in Safford. Lord Jesus, you know Philip Jr. You know where he is and why he's not here. Lord, he's come over and tasted things of America. Lord, I would rather than let them taste the things of America, keep them in Africa. Keep them humble. Lord, there's been many people come from different countries, Mexico, Central America. They've come here and tasted America. And America has a spirit on it. And it's cost a lot of them their spiritual life. But many of them have realized they've made a mistake and turned around and come back. Lord, I'm praying that you do this for Brother Philip's son. Turn him around, oh God. Let the taste of America become bitter in his mouth. Lord, let it be bitter. Or let it make him so sick in his stomach, he says, why am I here? Oh God, before you touch his body, I pray you touch his soul. Lord, redeem him according to by your word. Lord, let it be according to your perfect will. Take charge, we ask. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What's the song? Eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go straight. Of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Could you sing it one more time? Can you do that? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Strangely dim in the light of his glory. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. The future and
and I lift my voice to
time.
Oh yes, I love the Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Hallelujah. Amen. You believe he knows you?
Amen.
You believe he understands you?
Amen.
For he knew me. Amen. I'll sing this song, and as we sing this song, you can be dismissed momentarily. Do you believe he knew you? Do you believe he knew what?